Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Thanksgiving Sunday. It's really important that we have a Sunday that is set aside for Thanksgiving. There's no particular Sunday in the church year set aside for Thanksgiving, particularly the Thanksgiving to God for harvest. Our other congregations in the Southern Barossa are not having their Thanksgiving, harvest Thanksgiving today, but will do so on a different Sunday in the next 2 months. Our day of thanksgiving to God here today isn't just for what we have received through the produce of the land. Today we give thanks for all that he provides for our daily needs, and all that he provides also through us for the needs of others. Thanksgiving. We should at all times and in all places give thanks to God. That's what we're told in Scripture. But thankfulness to God doesn't come naturally. Why? Why doesn't it come naturally? Well, this situation of not coming naturally is nothing new for us. It was there for the people in Jesus' time too. He said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus had just produced an amazing feast for thousands of people through a miracle of taking a few loaves of bread and distributing it to the people to eat, and they were all fully satisfied. But they were satisfied in their bodies only, not in their hearts. And so why then do we find it so hard, like them, to give thankfulness to God and also to be reminded that this is what we can be like? Well, it's because we're curved in on ourselves. We think of ourselves first, naturally, before we think of others, and thankfulness to God isn't something that is going to come from us until God first works his love in our hearts, his faith in Jesus, and the purpose that he has for us to live with him forever. So by nature, we're geared to focus on things for this life only. And you know, even with the sin of greed, without the sin of greed, our thoughts and our actions are actually consumed by what we have to do. Whether we've done enough to put food on the table, to make ends meet, to stay financially secure in our own eyes. And our focus, quite naturally, is on those that we have responsibility for. Bianca, your life has been changed quite dramatically through having the gift of Amelia, because now you're so focused on what she needs. And I wouldn't hesitate to say either that Galen, your life has changed too, because you have to provide for Bianca and Amelia. And just like people in businesses, they need to think about the people they're providing for. We know in our own context at the moment, farmers, they're struggling. It's not the season they would have hoped for. And those who provide things that they need so they can grow their crops are concerned for them. But they also have to be concerned, as a business that provides those things, how they're even going to provide for their own workers. These are real, tangible things. And with all of that focus, it's easy to lose the joy of giving thanks to God. And so it's understandable then that Jesus said, "Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Those are very important words Jesus says there. He is giving you this life, this eternal life. And it's a food that goes on and on. It doesn't end. Don't work for it. It's a gift. And it's something which comes to you through his word. And so it's then, when you receive what Jesus has done for you, his forgiveness, when you see what he's done for you in covering all your sin with his own righteousness, making you pure and holy in the sight of your heavenly Father, it's then that the Holy Spirit leads your heart to give thanks to God, knowing you don't deserve any of that. It's all by sheer grace all by God's grace. And we're told to give thanks to God in all situations. As a parent myself, I can tell you that having children brings with it all sorts of situations, and some of them are easy and some of them are difficult. And yet we're called to give thanks at all times. What does that look like? I want to hold before you this morning our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Palisades in the USA. You're familiar with them, I'm sure, of the recent news. The turmoil, the tragedy that they've experienced with those massive fires that have raged through their homes and their lives. And yet our believing brothers and sisters in Christ there, the members of the Lutheran Church, they've turned to Christ giving thanks to God in that circumstance, giving thanks to God for his faithfulness. And I want to tell you about Pastor Richard Mayer. Pastor Richard Mayer and his wife of 70 years, Kari, lost their home and cars in the fire. Only enough time to throw a few items into an overnight bag before neighbours drove them to safety. And when Pastor Richard first heard the house that they had lived in for 50 years had burnt down, he said to himself, "I have nothing. I don't have anything." And then he said, "I caught myself and said, 'Richard, the devil has just got you.' You see, all of a sudden, I found myself saying, 'Richard, you have everything. I'm getting meals every day. I have people checking in on me all day long. I'm content and thankful.'" Now both in their 90s, the Mayers are preparing to start their lives over, praising and thanking God all the while for his faithfulness. And Pastor Richard said, "This very day I said, 'Lord, keep my heart open to be thankful.' What is life? It isn't a house. The Lord promises, 'I am here to give you hope and a future.' What a promise. That same promise to him is God's promise to you. And by his word, the Lord told Richard that he is with him and he gives the hope he needs, that he has a future, even though he doesn't know what it is yet. The joy, even as God works through something like that to give a thankful heart. Have you lacked giving thanks to God for things in your life? Have you lacked giving thanks to God for the people around you? Well, you can thank God that he did something about it. He sent his own son to carry ingratitude, your ingratitude and mine, our lackless hearts of love for him and for others. He took it all on himself. That's why Jesus came for you. And he took it all in his body to the cross, there to pay for it, so that you and I could have a clear mind, a clear conscience, and a thankful heart. And it's from this that our lives change. A number of you parents, a number of you grandparents, maybe great-grandparents, you'll know that with children, they too have to be taught how to give thanks, don't they? It sort of comes natural, it just belongs to me, even the food they receive. And what a great joy and a great privilege to, with children, before you have a meal, to fold hands and to give thanks, to ask Jesus to be with you and to bless the food. That little practice, powerful in its work, is turning the heart that normally wouldn't give thanks to God, giving it means to do so. For Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Jesus is that food. He fully satisfies our spiritual hunger and our thirst. He totally takes care of anything that would damage us in this life with our unbelief, to give us faith in him that knows it has no end. I don't know how many people I've spoken to in the past and most recently who have said, "I don't know how people who are facing death can do so without faith in Jesus." And it's true. You see, there's even thankfulness for God in what he does for his people who believe in him through death, that he is with them through death to take them into eternal life. So what are you going to give thanks to God for today? Giving thanks to God today, well, we can start with the very obvious. We give thanks to God for the new life he's given Amelia through baptism, given her his Holy Spirit, given her that life starting point where Jesus now lives in her and she lives in Jesus. Wow, she's joined us in the body of Christ. We can give thanks to God that, like us, by faith with Amelia, we don't have to worry about death. God has already taken care of that in his own son's death, and he's risen from the dead, and he's coming again, assured to give us eternal life. And we can give thanks to God for those around us and to pray for them. For through them, God wants to work. Just as he will, God will work through you, Bianca and Galen, as you teach and you bring God's word to Amelia. The Holy Spirit will be the teacher, and she will grow in a joy that will not be contained in her heart. It will overflow to her lips. I give thanks to God today that we're together in this house of God to give thanks to him, and that we can do this. Look around, how many of us are here? It's wonderful, joining in what is a foretaste of the feast to come in heaven. And so we can walk together in thankfulness of a Saviour who loves us. He is the food, and as we feed on him through reading his word, meditating on it, through being in his presence to have his word come into our ear and into our hearts, and as we come to receive the Holy Supper, the gift of his body and blood given to assure us our faith is secure and he lives with you and with me, not only in this life, he's preparing us for a glorious life where your own lips will give thanks to God in heaven. And so the peace of God, which passes all understanding, even the understanding of the angels, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from this time forward and forevermore. Amen.